The third case, Avail v. Raspestos. Mr. Weldy, we welcome you back.
Ronald E. Weldy on behalf of Appellant Diane Avail. I will note that I might intend to go talk to the clerk and say it would have been maybe a good idea to stick another oral argument in between here, Your Honors, but I'm happy to be here on this case as well. Thank you. Ms. Avail is contending that her employer violated her substantive rights underneath the FMLA by terminating her employment after returning from an approved FMLA leave. And it's the contention of employee that she has met all the elements of her interference claim and that employer cannot demonstrate a legitimate grounds for her termination. And specifically, the reason why employer cannot set forth the legitimate grounds for her termination is the fact that the honest suspicion standard should not apply in the case of Ms. Avail. And to my understanding, this is a matter of first impression as to any Court of Appeals level case involving the FMLA. The way to phrase this question is, does the honest suspicion standard apply to a just cause union employee? Or another way to phrase it is, does a just cause union employee have less rights when they take FMLA leave? Because that's really what it comes down to, Your Honors. In essence, by inserting the honest suspicion standard into this case, the court treated Ms. Avail like an at-will employee instead of a just cause union employee who could only be terminated pursuant to a provision of her CBA. That, in essence, lessened the rights of Ms. Avail and pretty much abrogates, in our mind, what the CBA sets forth. And given that the evidence is very clear that Ms. Avail did not work while she was on intermittent FMLA leave, as established by her and her doctor, the district court is, in essence, punishing her for working while she was not on FMLA leave simply because employer had a suspicion that she was doing so and cannot actually prove that fact.
Well, you're basically arguing that they made a mistake when they suspected she violated the CBA because of the FMLA violation. I mean, they thought there was a violation. You're saying it was a mistake, right?
They believed it was a violation. I don't really understand why, Your Honor. I believe that, unfortunately, the HR director for Raspestos, a Ms. Sowers, had a misunderstanding of what constitutes intermittent FMLA
right.
leave.
And then your Ms. Avail didn't file a grievance with the union or even protest the accuracy of Raspestos' charges at the September 10th meeting. So how was the HR person supposed to know that it was wrong in concluding she had violated the CBA?
Your Honor, there's actually, well, it's, I represented Ms. Avail when she went to the National Labor Relations Board to complain about the union's activities in this case. And it's not in the record, but the union told the NLRB that they had filed agreements. We can't find one. but the NLRB decided they weren't going to pursue the union because they figured that they filed agreements. That was all they had to do in order to support her rights.
And so whatever the confusion is, the bottom line is that Raspestos wasn't given notice that it was wrong in concluding that Avail had violated the CBA. I mean, she didn't really tell anybody at the time about the misapprehension or the mistake or whatever, right?
Your Honor,
I understand that she was told by the union steward or whoever not to say anything, but the bottom line is she never said that to the company at the time.
Actually,
so they could, like, clarify it, or she could explain it or something.
Your Honor, it's undisputed in the record that Ms. Avail would call in before each shift separately in order to request FMLA leave.
Right.
And she testified the reason why is because she had no idea how she was going to feel, whether or not her blood pressure or her migraines would be affecting
right.
her on the day in question.
I got that. What I'm saying is she never said anything to them after this all went down. She never said, you know, there's a problem here, there's a mistake here, because, you know, the time period you're talking about is not when I was supposed to be at work. You know, here's how my whole migraine situation works. Here's what my doctor said. I mean, the company never...
Well, Your Honor, I mean, obviously the company knew what time her shift was.
Yeah, but I'm talking about this misapprehension or this mistake.
Your Honor, if I don't know how, I mean, in essence, Ms. Sowers didn't have an understanding, a legal understanding of what constitutes intermittent leave, and she made that, she made an improper legal conclusion, in essence. I mean, she's not a lawyer. We did talk at her deposition about what training she was received on the FMLA.
Yeah, but I'm just talking about at the time. Since there was no grievance that made it her way, that spelled this out, nobody at the company knew. So it could be corrected. I guess that's what I'm saying.
Well, Your Honor, we brought the lawsuit in order to correct it.
Well, yeah, I'm talking about at the time. Wouldn't it have saved a lot of time and money instead of having to bring a lawsuit?
Well, Your Honor, in my experience, unions are about the worst possible advocate on behalf of employees when it comes to the FMLA. They are not represented by lawyers at the arbitration. They're represented by service representatives who know the contract, and that's about it.
Right, but I'm saying she didn't do anything independent of the union. She didn't tell anybody that it was wrong what the company did. I mean, just on her own.
No, she quickly came to me thereafter, and I actually represented her on an unemployment appeal, which we won. And then we started this lawsuit within 6 months to advocate her rights. But the union, having absolutely no legal understanding of the FMLA, of course didn't understand her situation and didn't want to pursue it on her behalf because they're not lawyers. They simply cannot comprehend how the FMLA should apply in this situation. And, you know, that's part of the problem here. I know that a defendant would like to see this claim preempted. Because the union didn't do something. Well, if we're going to have unions advocating FMLA rights on behalf of union employees, then a lot of union employees are not going to have their FMLA rights properly.
But Ray Spestos here, in this situation, only has to demonstrate it, that its suspicion, even if it was wrong, was honest. Right? Isn't that the standard?
No, I totally disagree, Your Honor. I totally disagree. They can only fire an employee underneath the CBA, if they actually violate a provision of it. To use the honest suspicion standard is to make Ms. Vail into an at-will employee, and that wasn't the terms and conditions of her employment. And this court...
You're into your rebuttal.
Oh, thank you, Your Honor.
Do whatever you want.
I appreciate that. But, you know, this court has laid it out in the Curitas versus Navistar case that you look to similarly situated employees in order to determine whether or not an individual is getting greater rights under the FMLA. You cannot look to an at-will employee to determine if a union employee is getting greater rights. You can only look to a fellow union employee. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Weldy. And Mr. Eflin.
Good morning. May it please the Court. I'm Matt Eflin, and I represent Robesto's Products Company, the appellee in this case. It's interesting that Ms. Vail's position here is that she is somehow being treated less favorably than an at-will employee by the application of the well-established case law. Here, there is no question that Robesto's had an honest suspicion that Ms. Vail was engaging in an activity that was terminable under the collective bargaining agreement. The facts are clear and undisputed that on October 6th, she called in requesting leave. On the morning of October 7th, she called her doctor and had her doctor fax in a note stating that she was to be off work until the p.m. of October 7th. And that on the evening of October 7th, she calls in again asking for leave. And yet, in the meantime, an agent of the company, off-duty police officer, witnessed Ms. Vail in the a.m. hours of October 7th engaging in work-for-profit for her husband's lawn mowing service.
So, but was she on approved medical leave when she was seen doing the lawn?
Well, actually, I believe she was, Your Honor, because of the fact that the doctor's note, which Robesto's received, actually had the doctor taking her off work until the p.m. of October 7th. Now, Ms. Vail has stated that has asked her doctor to state that that was not the intent of the note, that the intent of the note was simply to keep her off work during her shift that started on October 6th and ended on October 7th. Unfortunately, when Robesto's received that note, it had no idea that that was what was inside the doctor's mind. And so, as a result, the review of the note and review of the evidence provided by the police officer, by Ms. Sowers in the HR department, she came to the honest and reasonable conclusion that Ms. Vail was, in fact, working while on approved leave. As a consequence, Ms. Vail was terminated. She was not asked back. And the sole question here is whether her not coming back to work after approved FMLA leave is a violation of the Act. Judge Young below found that it was not, and Judge Young based that decision upon well-established case law, the Cariotis v. Navistar, and more recently the Crouch v. Whirlpool decisions show that an honest suspicion by an employer that an employee is engaging in terminable conduct while on leave isn't sufficient to defeat a substantive return-to-work claim. That is exactly the situation that you have here. Now, to take Ms. Vail's argument and what she would have this court do to its logical conclusion, it would effectively turn established labor law on its head. What she is effectively asking this court to do is to say it doesn't matter anymore what the jurisprudence under any federal statute is. And it doesn't matter that under established guidelines in the federal courts that there is a preference for having labor disputes under a collective bargaining agreement dealt with through the arbitration process. Here, what she is asking is to have done what she did, which is ignore the grievance procedure, ignore the arbitration process, and even ignore her one remaining option under 301, her breach of contract claim, which she withdrew at the summary judgment stage, to have her claim addressed under the just cause standard that the collective bargaining agreement entails. And instead, after ignoring all of that, she would then say, instead of pursuing my rights under the contract, I'm going to go ahead and file a federal lawsuit under any one of a number of different federal statutes, and yet still get to enjoy the just cause standard that is solely a creature of the collective bargaining agreement. There is no tension between her rights under the collective bargaining agreement and her rights under the FMLA. They're simply different beasts. And if she had wanted to pursue and seek a redress for her termination under a just cause standard, she could have grieved, she could have arbitrated, and ultimately she could have pursued her 301 action to its conclusion. She chose to do none of those things. What she did do was bring an FMLA claim, which this court has long since held provides her an opportunity to show that the company did not have an honest suspicion when it decided not to bring her back. However, she never contested that. She never argued that. She, in fact, considers it to be irrelevant. Unfortunately, I believe that it is anything but irrelevant. It is the cornerstone upon which this case is based. Ultimately, the decision by Judge Young is appropriate and is correct under the established case law, and there is no basis for any type of expansion of the rights of a union employee outside of the collective bargaining agreement because it's simply not necessary here.
I just have a question. It's not related really to the legal issue, but I was just curious this how the Crossville Police Department was retained to do surveillance. They don't have a lot going on in Crossville. I'm just curious, you know, what they have an arrangement with Ray Spestos to compensate them or...
There's no official tie between the company and the police department itself. It is not uncommon in that area for the police department's off-duty officers to serve in a variety of capacities, whether it's providing
Doesn't make them unusual in almost any police department.
Certainly, providing any number of different services.
No, it wasn't clear that he was off-duty.
Oh, I apologize.
Yeah, it says he was retained. But, you know, I just wanted to clarify it. I assume that, but I was just curious, that's all.
My apologies. Yes, he was off duty. If there are no further questions, I yield the rest of my time. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. Ms. Weldy.
Your Honor, with regard to that off-duty police officer, I would note that he was called, I believe that the testimony is, at 8 o'clock in the morning. That was prior to Ray Bestos receiving the note that they claimed that they were confused about, stating that Ms. Vail should be off until the p.m. So in essence, they were planning on investigating what she was doing with her time, regardless of whether or not they had the doctor's note or not.
Nothing illegal about that, is there?
Sorry?
Nothing suspicious about that, is there?
Other than Ms. Sowers had decided to have an employee who was no longer on intermittent FMLA leave investigated on her off hours, which makes no sense.
Except she asked for FMLA leave 33 days. I mean, 33 times. Hadn't she been off 33 times or within
yes.
a very short period of time?
During, I believe, the three preceding summer months or something like that,
right.
yes.
Right,
yes,
and ma'am. Her husband had this business, this lawnmower business. I mean,
yes.
She worked for the lawnmower business and everybody knew it, wasn't
right.
it?
I'm sorry, what?
She worked for the lawnmower right. business before, and everybody knew it. There was no
That's correct, Your Honor. She never, yeah. I believe
just
that she had been working for
she
years.
She was working for the lawnmower business when she said she couldn't work for the company.
Right, and plus, I mean, her shifts, she would mow during the day, and their shifts are at night. I mean, it would be impossible
she
for her to mow.
She worked night and day. We
yeah,
understand.
Yeah. I mean, it just wouldn't make sense. But I will note that the U.S. Supreme Court has recognized that arbitration is comparatively inferior to the judicial process in protecting individual statutory rights. And we're dealing with an individual's FMLA rights here. Those are statutory rights. And I just don't believe that the labor process set up can validate those rights. You're going to have those rights stepped upon. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thanks, Wellesley. Thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement.